The recent UK, recent World Happiness Index for 2022, the UK was ranked at 17th. According to this World Happiness Index, it's made by the UN, the United Kingdom has a happiness rating of 6.9, whatever that means. According to this rating, Finland is in fact the happiest country in the world. It has a rating of 7.8. It's put together by the UN and it ranks all the countries across the world based on factors such as economics, education, health, government, diversity, religion, and many other factors. It takes all these facts, these statistics, puts them into an algorithm, and it tells you apparently how happy a country is or how happy a country is not. But you see, happiness is not something that can be measured. In fact, happiness is even something that lasts. You see, I might be very happy on a Friday, but if Glentoran lose on a Saturday, well, I'm not so happy. But happiness comes and happiness goes, depending on our circumstances. It can't simply be measured. But when we speak of joy and we speak of biblical joy, we're speaking of something much deeper, something that is not affected by circumstance. And as we're going to see in Psalm 32, we're going to see that joy, that happiness is not produced by an index based on different factors. True and real joy, true happiness comes only when we know forgiveness in the Lord. This is a psalm of David. I don't know what it says in your Bible, but the inscription in mine says that it is a maskil of David. The word maskil, it's translated as contemplation, can also mean instruction. And as David was reading out the psalm, you heard that word selah, and he left a pause, because that word selah, it's a pause to reflect and meditate upon what we read and what we sing. And so this psalm, Psalm 32, it's a psalm of contemplation, a psalm of instruction, a psalm of reflection. It's a psalm to take time to pause and to reflect and to meditate upon the Lord's forgiveness, but also to meditate and reflect upon our own sin. Instruction in confession, instruction in coming before the Lord. J. Campbell Morgan says that this is a psalm of penitence, but it is also the song of a ransomed soul rejoicing in the wonders of the grace of God. Sin is dealt with, sorrow is comforted, ignorance is instructed. A psalm of rejoicing, a psalm of true joy in knowing and having experienced the wonders of the grace of God, in knowing firsthand his forgiveness, and knowing the true joy that comes from that. And so David opens the psalm in verses 1 and 2 by saying, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." That word bless in other translations is often put in as happy. Many scholars would actually suggest that happy is closer to the original Hebrew. And so as David writes, he's saying, who is happy? Who is blessed? Who is the one who is joyful? Well, verse 1, the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Who is happy and who is joyful? Verse 2, the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. True happiness doesn't come on an index. True happiness doesn't come from earthly factors. True happiness comes when we know the forgiveness of the Lord. When we know that we are forgiven by him, that in Christ our sins are covered, and that the Lord counts no iniquity on us. True happiness comes when we know that he is pleased to look on the Son and to pardon us. And yet I want to ask tonight, what is forgiveness? What does it actually mean to be forgiven by God? We talk about that word all the time in church, forgiveness. And yet I feel we don't fully grasp what forgiveness truly means. You see, I think sometimes we mistake forgiveness for being forbearance, that we simply overlook an unpleasant characteristic, an unpleasant event or offense, overlooking that little comment, overlooking the fact that someone ignored you, letting go and moving on. That is not what we experience when we receive forgiveness from God. God has not simply overlooked an unpleasant characteristic within us. But to be forgiven by God means that he has lifted the condemnation that is upon us, that we have deserved for our sins, and that through Christ he no longer counts us as guilty. That's so much more than simply overlooking something. And so for us to truly realize and to truly grasp the height of God's forgiveness to us, we need to truly see the state of our sin. You see, you and I simply don't have a few unpleasant characteristics, but we are totally depraved. We are dead in sin. We are opposed to God. In fact, we are in rebellion towards God. You've maybe heard of the CHILIP, an acronym in relation to Calvinism. It's the 5 points of Calvinism, and they make the acronym CHILIP, but the T stands for total depravity. You see, we are not simply people who sin. Our lives are not slightly tainted by sin, but Scripture tells us that we are totally depraved. R.C. Sproul used to refer to total depravity as radical corruption. From the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, mankind is radically corrupted by sin. The whole person, that is body, soul, mind, will, we are corrupted by sin. The Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 puts it like this. It says, "By this sin they fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and so became dead in sin, and wholly defiled in all the faculties and parts of soul and body, they being the root of all mankind. The guilt of this sin was imputed, and the same death and sin and corrupted nature conveyed to all their posterity, descending from them by ordinary generation." We are corrupted by sin, radically corrupted by sin. David said in Psalm 55, verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Sin is not something that we learn, something we catch. Sin is who we are. Parents, I highly doubt that at any stage you ever sat your children down and said, "Today we're going to learn how to lie. Tomorrow I'm going to teach you how you can disobey me." We don't do that, and yet we lie. We disobey our parents. Why? Because that's who we are. We are people who are born in sin, born radically corrupted. Doesn't mean we're utterly depraved. Mankind still at times do good. Even some of the most evil people in history at times were capable of love and of good. But to be born in sin does mean that we are at enmity with God. It means that we are separated from God, and it means that we are dead in our sin and in our trespasses. So I started off by talking about happiness, that this is a psalm of happiness, and yet probably most of what I said so far doesn't sound too happy. But you see, the first step to true happiness, the first step towards joy, is to acknowledge our sinful state. And David records for us in verses 3 and 4, a time when, as he puts it, he kept silent. It was the agony of his unconfessed sin. He writes, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." He had kept silent. He had sought to hide and to conceal his sin. And he says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." It was the weight of his unconfessed sin, the weight of the guilt and shame as it bore down upon him. David says that God's hand was